or rather the last week, to come to come back to the United States because our half-brother, you may know him, Sydney, he's been here a few times, and we're not real sure of his salvation, but he faced the very jaws of death this past week from a heart attack, very massive, and he, for over 1 week now, he's on a lung-heart support machine, and last night, starting at 9 o'clock, until 9 o'clock this morning, they have been gradually taking him off because it's an angioplasty pump. It's a new machine. And because of this, he's still with us. But we're not sure the reaction that his body's going to take. And that's why after the service, we want to go in as quickly as possible to the hospital to visit him because we're very concerned about his eternal destiny. And we are another thing. I understand that we had a missionary conference last year. My brother and I are just 1 week late. And that, you know, you may think it's on purpose, but it wasn't. We were here this morning because God's calling the providence. My brother Soul, I asked him to take 15 minutes because he's by far the better preacher. I'm a terrible preacher. I don't know English, I don't know Portuguese, I don't know Japanese and all the rest of the languages we have to speak. But he has been greatly used of God in his ministry there. He has churches. He has large churches all over Brazil. And of the 27 of the 29 states of Brazil, had churches, several churches have been established. Like far away, deep in the jungles of Manaus, a city of 2 million there in the upper Amazon. He already started 11 churches just in the city of Manaus. And really, we could say dozens of churches in São Paulo, in Rio. And the Lord has been really gracious and has used him mightily there in Brazil. And I asked him to take the Sunday school, and he says 5 minutes. But I think he meant 15 minutes. So come on up here, man. I think that Brother Lindell puts this on us, so we're so wild that come from Brazil, you know, he doesn't want us to jump out, you know. So we'll get him. Oh, the shock.
Well, good morning. I'm sure glad to be here this morning. I heard so much about this church. My brothers always brag about this church. And I said, well, I'm so glad I've had the privilege to be with you. Yeah, I paid my brother real good to tell me all those things. You know. So anyway, it's been a privilege. I don't have any hard luck, so to tell you. I've been on mission fields for 45 years. In April 15th, I left San Antonio, Texas, to go on to the mission fields. I was telling Brother Linda, I'm not an independent missionary. I'm a dependent missionary. I depend on the Lord. But he's never failed. Jesus never failed. I had a wonderful wife that I met here in San Antonio, Texas. In fact, I'm a San Antonio by birth, like you know. But anyway, God has been so good to me. I was converted to Texas A&M College. I didn't go there for religious purpose. I went there to make money, tell you the truth, trying to make money. However, I found something far richer, far good. I never regretted it. Lord got the worst deal, and I got the best part. Amen. And the privilege of working for Jesus. Someone asked me, when are you going to retire? I'm just 75, so I'm a young man yet. But I told him, well, I said, God told me to go, but he never told me to come back. So I'll be there. I'm just hard-headed. I'll be there till he either comes or he takes me home. Amen. The Lord willing. Amen. But we have such a good time in the foreign fields. Somebody said, well, I feel sorry for the missionaries. I feel sorry for the American pastors. We have a good time. Souls coming to the Lord and hungry for the gospel. You know, I'm not much of a preacher, actually. Hideo's the preacher of the family. But I never was much of a preacher. But, you know, when they're hungry, they'll eat anything. So, but the same old story, the love of God, God so loved the world. I tell you, saints, it still works. Just to tell people that Jesus loved them. I'm a veteran, actually, of the Second World War. My brother Ken and I were. And we came from a dysfunctional family. My dad and mother never did get along too well. In fact, my brother Ken and I, after we were inducted in Fort Sam Houston, we thought this is duck soup compared to what we had to go through, battle at home. But we thought about, during that time, we thought about the Lord. In fact, I promised God, I said, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me, I'll serve you. Well, I didn't meet the Lord till I got back with the Texas A&M of all places. If there's a heathen college, that is. But there, you know where it's darkest, the light shined the greatest. And there is where I met my master. Ken did a dirty trick on me. He came to know the Lord first. And he started a prayer meeting right in the dorm. He and I were dormed together, and I couldn't get out of it. But however, after the Lord got hold of my heart, studies didn't mean that much to me. Money didn't mean anything else. I thank God. God took me away from that. On the mission fields, you don't have much anyway, but I thank God for the experience I had. I got a BA degree, which means born again. And it was the best degree I had. And I thank God for the preciousness of Jesus. How he loved my soul so much. He reached down and saved my soul. And I tell you, saints, I can't ever repay all the years I stayed in mission field just to tell him, I love you, Lord. I thank you for what you've done for me. And it's been a privilege to be in mission fields. And some people say you have such heart. But it's just a privilege. It's just God has given us a special privilege to serve him on the fields where there are souls that are asking us about Jesus. Only trouble we just don't have enough workers to send out. We just don't have enough workers. They keep begging us to start churches here and there. And I tell you the truth, I hate to come back to the United States. You know, after you're so used to feeding people that's been begging you, asking you to come back here where you got so many wonderful things, so many things are spoiling you. And there's nothing but the love of God. But that's what people is wanting in that country. Well, I don't want to take any more of my brother's time, but anyway, I promise the Lord I'll do anything he wants me to do. And I remember God told me, you preach the gospel. I said, God, you chose the wrong man. You couldn't choose anybody's worst. I get nervous. I used to get so nervous and couldn't even, hoping that no one asked me to testify or anything. But I thank God for the privilege it has been to be on the fields for all these years. It just seemed like yesterday. My wife would probably been living if she would still be, been in the States, but she was willing to lay down her life. And I had a wonderful wife. She's from Indiana. I'm a black sheep of the family, didn't get married to Japanese. But I couldn't have picked out a better wife. I told someone if I ever had to do it over again, I'd choose the same girl. We worked together. We strolled together. I remember one time we were going through some rough time. And she said, so don't worry about it. She said, I'll put a little more water in the beans, a little more water in the rice. We'll make it. And others have gone back, but she persisted. Her perseverance had kept me on the fields. Lord bless you. And I thank God for the missionary spirit you have, your pastor have. You're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about the others. And that's what it's all about, saints.
That's what it's all about.
Others.
God gave us the best thing we can get this side of heaven, and we can't keep it to ourselves. And may God bless you. Keep it up. Keep it up. A good pasture. And keep on going, because one disease, the race will be over. And what we have done for others, God will always remember. May God bless. Thank you very much.
My brother Soul this morning asked, how do they dress here at the church? I said, they're quite informal. Some of them become real informal. He says, well, I came on a rush, on an emergency, and I just came with short sleeves. And you think they'll allow that? Understatement of the day. So Brother Lindell, he's very informal. But when he saw him, I don't know what he thought. He thought, and really, it's been a real privilege to have such a wonderful group to pray for us. At the end of the last year, end of the century, going into the new millennium, verily, the whole world was very in turmoil, but Brazil more so, because they have so many of their internal problems. One of the highest crime rates in the world. As a matter of fact, in 1999, over 5 people who are coming to our various meetings have been murdered. Is that dozens have been assaulted. Burglaries breaking into homes. The recession so great in Brazil that, you know, officially, 19.6% unemployment, but actually it's closer to 46 or 47%. No work. There in the city of São Paulo, they offered 5,000 workers, you know, to get some of the people off the street. 5,000 workers to gain salary minimum in for their noon meal and for their transportation back and forth. From the first day for the 5,000, there are over 50,000 people lined up for that, for those meetings. That's for $60-$70 a month. $50, $60, $70, depending on the exchange, and for meal, and for the transportation, back and forth. Is that, Brother Lindell, there are over 5% of these that were college graduates. No work. And truly, it's very unjust, because Brazil is a rich nation, but politically it's being fleeced off. As a matter of fact, the people who gain, say, $70 a month have to give 8% of that into the Social Security. And there's a group of Chief Justice, various other leaders have stolen $2 billion from that fund. And none of them are in jail today. Not one. And people are suffering. And truly, in that suffering, is a real privilege to preach Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I am the chief. And verily, that's good news that he came to save me. Came to save us. Amen. Praise God forever. You know, folks, and it's so marvelous not only to be saved, but as Peter and John says, when they were threatened with their lives, you cannot speak again in this name of Jesus. They answered very boldly and said, we cannot but speak that which we have seen and heard. Praise God for the look to the Lord Jesus, transforming our lives, changing our center, changing our destiny, changing our lives, changing our nature. No longer I, which liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God forever. Folks, we have been so pressed in the work We have, just in the city of São Paulo, we have over 40 meetings per month. Many of them weekly, some of them are biweekly, some are monthly. And that means that we're in meetings between 15 to 25 meetings per week. And each meeting takes a little over 2 hours each. And that's why, just for the meetings, it keeps us going from morning till night. Every day, 7 days a week. And we have tried, I've tried to write letters, but many times because of physical limitation, much of it because of lack of time, I haven't been able to keep up with my correspondence. I'm so ashamed of it, but I just praise God for my faithful brethren here at our home church, praying, giving, sacrificing, knowing that you're praying. And that, you know, when the hard times, Brother Lindell, you don't know what that means to those who are on the battlefront. And we want to thank you. This morning we do have a very dull time, and Lindell said that he's going to throw rocks at 11 o'clock. But I very firmly said that he that's without sin throw it the first rock. And he says, I'm qualified. Well, boy, this is a dangerous place we came to. But praise God for this moment that we have together. You know, my brother, so this is the first time that we've had a pulpit together for many, many years, because his work is among Brazilians, and Ken and I work mostly among the Japanese. And the Lord has blessed my brother so, and truly God has greatly, greatly used, is that no mention has been made of the work, but really hundreds of churches have been established. And truly, the Lord is moving in grace, great ways there. And all, most of the churches are not real large, but medium-sized churches, and preaching the word, and we're really grateful for that. This morning, I understand he just finished the missionary conference, right? And we're stragglers, you know, these backwoods, or maybe better to say backslidden preachers come in here. Like, they said, there are three of them here this morning. Boy, there are more missionaries than there are people here, you know? But, folks, we'd like to just share a few things, just a few words, and then just sharing a little bit of the work that you've been praying for. Will you turn with me to John 9:4. This is a few days before the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave these words whenever he was threatened on every hand. And he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Folks, there are three things that we would like to see very clearly here that the Lord is putting in his focus amidst of all the threatenings, all of the difficulties, threatening him with death. It's chapter 6, 7, and 8 in John are the persecutorial chapters, and the Lord Jesus was facing death. But he says, my time has not come. Remember, it's the fullness of time. Human beings are very hasty. They're very, very impatient. But the Lord Jesus always worked in the fullness of God's time, not my time, not what I think, what I want, but what God wants, and waiting for God to fulfill his will in the fullness of his time. Amen. And this is what he said. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We want many things that we can study here and meditate, but just three things very quickly. He was very conscious, number one, of his mission. I must work, or I may, or thinking about, or if I have the money, or I have the time, or I have the feelings that I should go, I'll do. No, it's not that at all. He says, I must work the work of him that saved me. Folks, we have no options. We who have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We who have really known the sweetness of sins forgiven. The indwelling presence of the resurrected Christ in our lives. We have no options. It's no longer I which liveth, but Christ which liveth in me. Amen. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? No other. Folks, we have no option. We have no alternative. The Lord Jesus put it across the mission. I must work the works of him that sent me. Amen. Folks, what a privilege. What a privilege to be able to labor for him that loved us and gave himself for us. We who live no longer live for ourselves, but him, for him that loved us and gave himself for us. Amen, amen. What a privilege. What a debt. What a joy and what an obligation. I must work the mission. Folks, when we come back in the States, so many people ask us, as my brother said, when are you going to retire? You already passed 60, 65. We couldn't help that, could we? But folks, one thing we can, Lord, when you saved us eternally. We're yours eternally, Lord. It's not what we think or what other things. Lord, we belong to you. And you use us exactly the way you want us. We have no plans, to be real frank with you. I think we can speak this for about three of us, is that we have no plans to retire. You know why, Lindell? You know why? Because I can't see it in the Bible. You show me the preachers need to retire at 65 in the Bible, and I'll retire right now. Isn't that right, brother? Isn't that right, pastor? Well, you know, we retire when he calls us and say, bye-bye, we've been promoted. Amen. For me to live is Christ, with the diet's gain. Hallelujah! This is great, man. You know, folks, there in the field, we've been privileged to face death many times. There's no fear of death whatever for Christians. None whatever. You know, just the other day, a Japanese couple just bought a car. And they were returning in the place called Santa Marta. They were passing off front, right on front where we were having a meeting. And three people assaulted and they said, stop. They said, turn the car over to us. But you see, they just brought it out of the agency, a brand new car, but they haven't paid. They haven't paid for the insurance. And they didn't want, you know, they didn't want to turn it over because the insurance wasn't paid. If the insurance were paid, they would have turned it over because they can get it back. But they said, the car, and we don't want to lose this. In the hesitation of 2 seconds, both of them, on both sides, fired into their heads, killed them there, and dragged the body out, got in a car and took off, and they've never found the car yet. The couple that we've been trying to reach for the Lord called to eternity without Christ that we know of. Folks, when we heard that, we saw that, we saw them throw them out, we saw them being killed, saw them, we saw them being thrown out of the car, left dead, and taking off with the car, we must work the work of him that saved me. A new commitment had to be done. Folks, what a privilege to share Christ with a lost and dying world. Young people, we have so many dreams while we're coming up. Oh, to be able to get married. Whenever we get married, no more solitude, no more loneliness, no more trouble. We know that isn't so in reality. Like Lindell, Brother Lindell said, you know, our lives are consecutively one series of difficulties. But have one more thing, where sin abound, where iniquity abound, praise God forever. His grace is super abounding. Be it whatever problem may be, whatever difficulty it may be, the grace of God is greater. Amen. Amen. His solution is much greater than any problem that we have. Don't depend on marriage. Don't depend on your wife. Don't depend on your children. Don't depend on your pastor. Don't depend on others. We can depend 100% on Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll never let us down. Amen. Folks, because Jesus and others We're one in Christ Jesus. We pull together. We help together. We encourage one another. We love one another. When we fail, we forgive one another. Amen. We pray for one another. In this bound of His life and His love and His light, we can march on to serve our King Jesus. Amen. Folks, first is the mission. He was not only conscious of the mission, but also of His commission. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. Folks, it's so important to know that each one of us is Christians in Christ Jesus. Father sent the Son, and He says, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. We're all sent in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have a commission. He has sent us. Anytime that a nation sends out any ambassadors, the ambassador always has a mission and he has a commission from the nation that sent him. These are the things that must be done. Ambassador is the absolute representative of that nation in that other nation. Folks, we don't belong to this world. Don't let the world just bind us down in everything, the way they act. Their attitudes, their action, the way that they live, the way that they dress, and whatever it may we be only for the glory of our King Jesus. May the very glory of His presence, of His sweetness, of His sanctity, of His pureness be flowing out of our lives. That's one commission that we must have. But folks, He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, there's several people who say that I don't go because I haven't gotten the call. Why? I want let's get it delivered. Let's get the record straight. He says every Christian go and don't stop until He tells you to stop. Isn't that right? Because the gospel, as someone said, gives you the go spell. Isn't that right? I don't know if that's in the etymology of gospel or not, but someone said that. But you know. Others said it gives us a God spell. He comes in our lives, intervening in our lives. We can't help but speak that which we have seen and heard. Folks, that's the glory of the gospel. But not only God spell and God spell, but it gives a good spell that my brother was speaking about. Praise God forever. Such joy is to look to Him in whose presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. Folks, what a joy to live in His presence, to have His commission. Go ye. Folks, we're not going to paint a picture that says it's easy. It isn't easy when you're up before 6 every morning and go straight through until 1 or 2 o'clock every night. It's not easy. And one of this old gray mare ain't what she used to be. And you know, Lindell told me, says, you know, my father says that when my brain develops so, and then the hair falls out. He says, a lot of brains, no hair. A lot of hair, no brains. I'm not sure of this anatomy. I don't know where he got this embryology or whatever it is. But it may be good theology. I'm not sure. But folks, thank God He gives us 24 hours a day. And 24 hours is His. Pardon me for coming in with Portuguese. It says, this is the first time I'm preaching in English. And the English doesn't come out because it's only Japanese or Portuguese. And I'm sorry if some foreign words come in, the Lindell is going to translate it later, okay? He says, no foreign tongues without interpretation, right? Oh, a brother here, he'll do it for me. Okay, thank you. But we have this commission. And folks, remember, responsibility and also the obligation must be fulfilled. It's not necessary, as Alexander said. He says, we must charge into this, to the target here in what's presently in Pakistan. He says, I want 3 men, good men to come out. 3 of his best men came out. And he says, men? He says, you don't understand. You're not going to come back. The soldier says, General, it's not necessary to live, but absolutely necessary to fulfill our commission. Yes, indeed. To live is not necessary, but to fulfill the commission is. Amen? But the third thing is not only the mission and commission, but omission. He says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I don't know how my brother's soul feels, but actually, we know the realities that we don't have a lot of time in our future. Number one, we are waiting for his second coming. Amen. Secondly, the world is in a real mess. It cannot continue much longer. You know the scientists say that starting next year, the whole world is going to suffer the lack of fresh water. You know that. United States, all of the water that comes down the river is pumped out, filtered into the water network, used, sewage, water, filtered. All the water has been calculated. It's being used 18 times just in the United States. That's why many people won't drink the tap water because it's so polluted. They can't take out of all the pollution. But still we have water. Do you know that scientifically speaking, just Brazil has 42% of all fresh water in the world? Did you know that? 42%. National Geographic magazine came out with that. The survey. The world over. Do you know that Brazil is commencing to fail in water supply in almost 35% of the area of Brazil? Have tremendous amount of torrential rain. And this past year, this year, from January until now, 4 months, they said over 30,000 died in Brazil. That's according to the newspaper, O Estado de São Paulo. From, you know, the cutting down the forest, and just all of the torrential rain just drains out. It kills many of the people who are living in lowland, and particularly as the slums. Been great deal of people getting killed. But it runs off so quickly that they're not able to keep it. And Brazil is running short on fresh water. Sahara Desert has grown over 2,000 kilometers in depth, eating into the primeval forest. The world over, the only nation in the world today that has virgin primeval forest is Brazil. In the United States, Europe, Japan, and all have begged Brazil not to cut down the forest. But in 3 years, according to the Brazilian papers, in 3 years they have cut down over 34 to 35% of all the virgin forest in Brazil. And that's to get a few trunks of lumber. Just a few, and they burn the rest. It's a crime, but it's really happening. Why? We know from experience that during the biblical time, northern Africa used to be forest. Right, Brother Lindell? But today, Sahara has grown from 1,700 kilometers to now almost 3,000 kilometers to the south. The same thing is happening in Brazil. Cutting down the forest becomes a forest. It becomes a desert. And what really is disturbing is that Brazil, in the world's largest primeval forest, this past year, it failed to rain. This year, it failed to rain, wherein that over 10 to 20% of the trees are dying from lack of water. It's becoming very serious. Only one thing I'm talking about, water. The pollution. The water rising the world over. The CO2 causing the greenhouse effect. Heating up, wherein that the waters in the Arctic has risen, according to the National Geographic magazine, it has risen 7 degrees. It has already melted over one third of the glacial ice, raising the world over the water level or the world over between 15 to 22 centimeters. And it's horrible. Raising the water, breaking the ice shelf in the Antarctic. Is that the other day broke off one that's almost the size of Colorado, the state of Colorado, from the Antarctic. It's coming in the open ocean at the present time. One after the others, scientifically speaking,
The scientists know that the world's not going to last much longer, folks. But we don't have to get the information from science. The Word of God is so clear. These things shall come about. And we're seeing on every hand. We're the most privileged church age that we've ever had. Of compromise, of sin, of many problems. Praise God, His overflowing grace all about us. To take forth this reality of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. Folks, may we be conscious. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If the Lord Jesus, Brother Lindell, was so conscious, the Son of God, our Lord Absolute, conscious that the night cometh when no man can work, how much more should we, small, failing mortals, we must work the works of Him that sent us while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. If that day is approaching, and folks, we must get them into the fold. Actually, I want to share another message. And last night when Brother Kincaid said, I want you to give a little talk at the Sunday school. We prayed about it, prepared. But the Lord, while I was sitting here, touched my heart. Share with the co-workers the real necessity of being conscious of our mission, our commission, and a possibility of omission. Folks, one of the greatest danger is just plain laziness. I hate to say that because it sounds mean, but that's not the spirit I'm saying it in. I'm not saying to be vindictive. I'm not saying to say bad things about myself or anyone else. The fact is, the human race is lazy. In Christ, we must have something better. Amen. We must what? Work together. We must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. May we apply our time, our energy, not insanely, not like a chicken with the head cut off, not that at all, but connected with the head of all, the head of the church, the Lord of glory, the sustainer of heaven and earth. Our lives in Thine, Lord, Your work may be completed in my life. Amen. Folks, I have 4 minutes or 5 minutes. 4 minutes, right, Brother Kincaid? Is that I'm going to quit in 3 minutes because he may dislocate his arm throwing rocks at me. My brother Ken, he just had a cataract operation, a minor operation, but for that and many other things, he could not come this time. And just two of us came to see our brother, and it's been time being in the ICU. We can't spend very much time with him, but we shared the word. We shared the gospel. We prayed. We prayed privately, collectively for this brother because he's very religious. He has very good grasp of the evangelical and the biblical precepts. He can enter any discussion and go, and he's the most sociable of our family. And really, as a person, very excellent person, but all of us are sinners. And we're under the decree, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And folks, we're anxious that he may truly have this living encounter with Jesus Christ. But Ken said, he phoned me yesterday, was it yesterday? And he said, be sure to send to our church his warmest greetings. But he couldn't come this time, but he's there in heart. So he wanted us to send his love to each one of you. My family, I spoke to them last night. They said, please send each one here their warmest greetings, their warmest love, and in what they call in Brazil, abraço. A dear sister, when she came in, she says, you know, I was in Brazil. I was in Brazil in the 70s, 3 years. And she said that she worked in Porto Ferreira. When I heard that, it rang a bell so because we have a work there in Porto Ferreira. There's a family that moved from, two families that moved from São Paulo to Porto Ferreira. And that's why they're asking us to build a church there. We only have a congregation there at the present time. But there, if, as a matter of fact, two congregations with roughly 40, 50 per congregation. Eh? And they're just requesting. But as my brother so said, there's a lot to be done, but the labors are few. May each one of us remember the conscience. We must work the work of him that sent us while it is day, the night coming when no man can work. And what a privilege. My family, my wife, and three of the children are serving the Lord full time. And it's so difficult, Lindell, to see really from early in the morning until 11, 12, 1 o'clock, every day, 7 days a week, without one day open. But what a privilege. I don't recommend that schedule for anyone. I don't want that for my family. And I asked them, will you take a day off rest? Says, Dad, says, you don't have any, you haven't set an example. And I said, well, sorry. But it isn't because we want it that way. Even at 7 days per week, 3-4 meetings per day, even at that, there are many, many more that needs to be reached with the gospel. We must work the work by the MSNs. So do continue to pray for us as we continue to pray for you. What a sweet union in Christ. And we labor together. God bless you and thank you. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks as we pause in your presence, dear Lord, for this privilege to be together with our dear brethren who have prayed, who have sacrificed, who have interceded. And we beseech thee, Lord, to pour forth thy blessing upon this, thy children. Thank you, Lord, for each life. And may each one of us be conscious, as the Lord Jesus was conscious, of his mission, of his commission, and a possibility of omission. We desire, Lord, so weak and so faulty, we beseech thee that thy perfect will be done in each one of our lives. Bless the brother pastor, the two co-pastors, be with them, fill them, we pray, the full overflowing of your presence, of your spirit, and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.